electric, playmaker, it factor, home run, big play machine, highlight reel, game changer, however you want to slice it. Junior Bergen, 49ers seventh round pick. All of those attributes are attached to him. This kick returner, punt returner, wide receiver kind of. you go to the quote of, you know, Kyle Shanahan. Quote, we brought him as a returner, or we took him as a returner. So we'll throw him in with the receivers and see what see how that goes. But we brought him here to be a returner and try to make the team that way. End quote. This dude is as electric as it gets. Now, you have to take into account the level of competition that Montana plays against. But the one thing I will go back to, and watching tape, which is hard to find, his best plays, he had three return touchdowns, punt return touchdowns, in the FCS championship playoffs, which, you know, they do playoffs kind of the old-fashioned way, kind of how the NCAA is doing it now. But, like, almost all of them were, two of them were in the fourth quarter, all three of them were in the second half, against quality teams. You're talking North Dakota State, like, they're FCS teams, I understand that, but dude changes games. It's just what he does. So Junior Bergen comes in number 58 on the 49ers roster countdown this year, and it's just like, what do you do with him? Is he going to make the roster? He should. You spend a seventh round pick as, you know, being a returner, but then the question comes to, Jacob Cowan was a quality punt returner last year. Do you go back-to-back-to-back three straight years with a rookie returner? You had Ronnie Bell. That was not good. Jacob Cowan was decent. Now you're going to spend a seventh-round pick on Junior Bergen for a need that wasn't really even in existence. But with the new kickoff rules, it kind of does make it a little bit better there as well. He's going to be wearing jersey number 86 for the 49ers, and he is tiny. 5'9", 184. 72-inch arm lengths, 22 years old, ran a 4.52 40, not even in the 4.4 range, but it's acceleration, explosiveness, and just, man, the dude just runs so calm, cool, collected as chaos is happening all the way around him on all these returns. 36.5-inch vertical, 10-foot broad jump, 17 bench press reps. Like, you could say Junior Bergen's small, and he is. But 17 bench press reps for the wide receiver, if he would have been invited to the combine, he was not. He did this at the pro day. It would have been the fourth best for all wide receivers. So he is small, but it's not like he's weak or fragile. You look at his body, he is a developed muscle weight room type guy. And, you know, the closest comp you can kind of get for him is Ray McCloud. But he's 10 pounds smaller than Ray McCloud. A lot stronger. But this is a tiny little, he's small. I don't know what else to say. Played at Billings High School in Billings, Montana. Chose to go to Montana. Has 8 siblings. And he has admitted having all those siblings helped his competitive nature and all those things growing up. Played football and basketball in high school. He was a quarterback, dual threat quarterback, in high school. Threw for 1,100 yards, 13 touchdowns. Rushed for a bunch more. Switched to wide receiver. And then goes to Montana and has just a legendary career. He was the team MVP in 2024. 16.7 yards as a returner. That ranks third in the country. Had the most punt return TDs in NCAA FCA history. 8 punt return touchdowns. 3 of those, again, were in the FCA playoffs in the fourth quarter, second half. Helped Montana make the championship game. Lost to South Dakota State. South Dakota State, that's Dallas Goedert's school. So, like, you know, we've recruited those guys sometimes. So it's not like, you know, they beat North Dakota State. They beat Ferris State. They beat Tennessee State. Like, not powerhouses. That's not what I'm trying to say. But it's not like he's not playing against other, you know, NFL players. They are out there. John Lynch, this was his quote. Quote, our special teams guys, they both have some Montana roots. And I think this guy kind of become the sensation, and they keep talking about Brant Boyer, Cole Anderson, keep talking about this kid from Montana and really selling him to us, end quote, on why they took him. And the adaptation in the NFL for the new kickoff rule. Now, if you kick a touchback, you know, obviously everything's different. The offense starts with the ball at 35. And so because of that, here's the next John Lynch quote after they draft him. Quote, ultimately at the end, it's like, okay, are we going to have a chance at free agency if we don't draft him? Is someone else going to draft him in the end? Ultimately, I do think there's added value with returners with the adjustment to the kickoff and touchbacks coming all the way out to the 35. Again, that's John Lynch talking. People are going to become less inclined to just kick it through the end zone, more return opportunities. So to have a dynamic returner is a good thing. He'll go in there and compete. He's done it really well at smaller college level, and now he's going to get opportunity and do it with us, end quote. The return rule changed things. And is this a luxury pick? Yes. The 49ers have spent more draft capital on special teams than any other team in the NFL since Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch showed up. That's a negative. That is stupid. It has not panned out well. You have the highest punter in the league. Well, you just cut him. You have the highest kicker in the league, and he's a bottom five, whatever. Every time they draft a wide receiver playmaker, they're always like, oh, well, returner. He can return. He can return. You look what happened with Isaac Grindo. Fumbled so much, they had to bench him. And then you're putting your star player Debo back there. The 49ers and special teams is awful. By far, one of the worst special teams production over eight seasons since Shanahan showed up dead last in the NFL. But they've spent the most draft capital on it. So that's a negative. However, at some point, you have to start bearing fruit with all this high draft capital, whatever. And you can say, well, like, seventh round pick's not really a high pick. To draft just a straight returner at any point, that's pretty weird. It's very, very weird. He was drafted in the 36th pick of the seventh round. So it's late, and it was the last draft pick for the 49ers, you know, close to that Brock Purdy kind of territory. But you have so many needs. You haven't drafted an offensive tackle or center in three consecutive drafts, the only team in the NFL, yet you're in that same time period, you spent a third-round pick on a kicker and drafted just kick returner only. It's just weird. It's awkward. Doesn't mean we're rooting against them. It's just a misappropriation of funds. Doesn't mean Junior Bergen can't become a stud. You look at his college numbers, 145 career receptions. And again, he was a wide receiver, just a slot guy. A lot of double moves, a lot of out routes, a lot of sluggos, a lot of out and ups, fades. You know, that's kind of what he did. But he did contribute. 145 career receptions, 1,700 yards, 12.3 yards per catch, 13 touchdowns. And gadget guy, you can do the end around, halfback tosses, jet sweeps, all that stuff. 577 rush yards, 4 touchdowns. So he has that. But then you get to the return stats. All right, this is where it gets fun. As a kick returner, 48 returns, 978 yards, 1 kickoff return touchdown. The last 49ers kickoff return touchdown, do you know who it was? I'm going to give you a second to answer. Richie James returned a kickoff for a touchdown October 16th, 2018. So that will be 8 seasons ago, against the Seahawks. Punt return, okay, these are Junior Bergen stats, 68 returns, 1,136 yards, 8 punt returns for a touchdown. Do you know who the last punt return for a touchdown for the 49ers was? I'll give you a second. Ted Ginn Jr. was the last one on September 11, 2011, against the Seahawks again, so I do like that. It's been a while. I mean, you're talking 15 years now. 15 seasons without a punt return. We've given up a lot. Thank you, Brian Schneider. Thank you, Hightower. No major injury concerns with Junior Bergen. And again, yeah, he's small, he's slight, but he's built right. Like, you look at him and you can tell he spends time in the weight room. Here's my film write-up on Junior Bergen. Body control is his elite trait. Always upright, great balance, just always seems to be calm, cool, collected despite the chaos happening around him. Always keeps his eyes downfield for the next person to make miss. He's playing ahead. His vision is there. Great acceleration and vision. Hands are elite, and every catch looks easy. Like, the body control, he can twist and do all this kind of weird stuff while the ball's in the air to where he's always catching the ball in a nice, comfortable wide receiver target area. Most wide receiver productions on double moves, lots of fades, go routes mixed with out routes. His out route looks clean, though. His stem at the top of his routes is great. But very far from running the full route tree. Was not asked to do that at Montana. Slot wide receiver only. Most of his biggest returns were in the fourth quarter. I do love that. Very small, but never seen anyone get a clean hit on him. He is shifty. He's shifty, but that's not really how he makes. He's not a big juker either. The acceleration and vision and setting up blocks, like, he sets up his blocks very well. Brant Boyer, the new 49ers special teams coordinator, said, quote, "If you want to say he has the it factor, I think he does. He's one of the hardest workers on the team, end quote. Now, he's got a little bit of personal ties. Brant Boyer, the special teams coordinator's son, Brayton, plays football at Montana. He's a redshirt kicker slash punter, so he's been around, and there's just ties to that. He signed on May 9th, 2025, a four-year, $1.0 million deal. He got a $101,000 signing bonus. Had 19 starts, played in 51 games. And last year, again, let's just look at last year's numbers alone. 13 games, 8 starts, only 565 snaps. Almost all of those, 431 of his wide receiver snaps, all in the slot. He is a slot guy only. 125 special team snaps. He's a punt returner, kick returner. You're not going to put him anywhere else out there. Slot wide receiver, punt returner, kick returner, that's it. And even the slot wide receiver is like, well, let's wait and see. He's got to develop. He is not, they did not run a pro-style scheme. It was a spread, 4 or 5 wide, just 4 verticals every other play, I swear. 48 receptions, 542 receiving yards last year, 11.3 yards per catch, 3 touchdowns, 21 kick returns for 455 yards, 10 punt returns. He had 10 punt returns for over 20 yards. That's huge. That's one of my favorite things. Like, I love the touchdown highlight reel plays. I want to give the offense, as a punt returner, one fewer first down to get. Does that make sense? So, like, when you see a 20-yard punt returner, 20-yard punt return, that's 2 first downs you don't have to get now to get into scoring position. That's the kind of stuff. Make it shorter. We always called it hidden yardage. You know, I was a special teams coordinator. It's like hidden yardage. We're going to win that. And we would blast that up on the walls. Like, how the offense had to go this many fewer yards. The defense had to protect, you know, this much fewer yards before teams could get into scoring position. Hidden yardage is huge, and the 49ers have been awful at it. Terrible. Now, what's the best case scenario for Junior Bergen? He's got to make this roster as a returner only. He impresses at camp, has 1 or 2 highlight reel returns, and he makes the 53-man roster. He's the punt returner. He's one of the kick returners. That's kind of what you've kind of set him up as. And again, back to Kyle, quote, we took him as a returner, end quote. You took this guy and you cut him? That is a wasted 7th-round pick, but the 49ers have done that in the past. There is room for him on this roster, especially with the new IR return rules. PUP return rules. You don't have to cut players to stash them on IR or PUP. They don't count against the 53 initially. They do count as one of your 8 return roles, but you have a little bit more leeway. On top of that, this 49ers roster is not deep. You do not have the depth. This is not the 2022 49ers roster. It's not the 2021 49ers roster. You have sacrificed so much depth whenever you did not have any main free agency signings. You just skipped that part of the offseason. Now, you're hoping the 11 draft picks and the 6 undrafted free agents can make this roster, but that's a lot of young pups. And so there is room because the lack of depth across this entire, that's my biggest weakness on this entire 2025 49ers team. But because of that, the silver lining is guys like Junior Bergen, pretty clear pathway. If he is cut, that is a gigantic miss. Again, late 7th-round pick. Calm down, John Chapman. But it's just like, man, you could have used a tackle. You could have used a lot of positional players. When you take these luxury picks, they have not panned out for the 49ers at all, at any point. And I know somebody's like, well, Mitch Wisnowski had a good year. That was after you extended him, and he was getting paid top 5 punter money to be a borderline top 5 punter in the NFL. That's not good value. So can Junior Bergen finally kind of be the fruit of all of this expenditure that you spent in the draft for special teams only to never get any of the rewards? Maybe Jake Moody does hit this year. Maybe Junior Bergen does hit this year. I hope that he does, and I hope that he makes the 53 because it would be nice to be excited about special teams plays instead of just, it's like watching a car crash. You know, I go to all these games, and, you know, if you're going to take a bathroom break, you got to take off quick during the commercial break and try to get back. And when you score a touchdown, sometimes you skip the extra point. But now it's going to be, dude, we got to be there for the kickoff. Kickoff return, the punt return, because Junior Bergen's back there. Who knows what could happen? That's what you want to happen. His goal is to be a Hall of Famer. He has been very outspoken. I want to be in the Hall of Fame. I want to be in the Hall of Fame. Devin Hester's about it. Whenever you look at kick returners that have made it that far. So, like, man, it would be nice to have one of those. And imagine if Junior Bergen is one of those Pro Bowl returners that is just electric, playmaking, it factor, home run. Man, Shanahan offense has never had a complimentary special teams force like that. Boy, would it be nice. And this is another one of those drafty signings that does lighten the Debo role a little bit. Debo was providing that extra spark as a returner. Maybe Junior Bergen can do the same thing. Maybe he could be better. Hope that he can. Junior Bergen, excited to have you. Have to say thank you to Josh, Ben, and Zach, executive producers of this series, for the 49ers Rush team. We're just going to keep counting them down.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. American Family Insurance can help protect your dream home for whatever comes next. You can live in your own oasis or your own clubhouse. Whatever you choose, get the right coverage. Save up to 23% by bundling home and auto. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. One of the 49ers rookies, or players in general, that was able to stand out and show out through OTAs, minicamp, whatever you want to call them, it was the rookie, Jordan the Gauntlet Watkins, went out there and just made a lot of people really happy because, you know, Brandon Ayuk's not practicing. Ricky Pearsall's injured again with a hamstring issue. So it left a lot of snaps for the rookies to get some work with Brock Purdy in the ones, and he took advantage of it. You have to give credit where credit is due. And so if you guys have, you know, stuck with us in the 49ers Rush since, you know, the draft coverage leading up to the draft, after the draft, all those things, my biggest question mark of the 49ers draft, which I thought that they did a great draft, was Jordan Watkins in the fourth round. I was not a fan. And so allow me just to add some context to why I felt that way. And I hope I'm wrong. I really, really do. I did not like, I watched Jordan Watkins and I evaluated the Ole Miss tape in their skill positions. And I chose to not rank him. I think we ranked 340 plus players because it just would have been a bad evaluation. And a lot of it's the Ole Miss, you know, Lane Kiffin, Bryles scheme where players take plays off. They coach them to do that. They do not block hard. They tell them to loaf. And so I can't stand that. Me personally, as a former coach, that is like, I can't do it. I just can't. So I did not even have a seventh round grade on him. He would have been an undrafted free agent, not even one of the top undrafted free agents for me. But the 49ers loved him. And so again, not my guy, but I hope he dominates and I hope he becomes a legend. So let's go through and let's figure out why the 49ers liked him so much. Jordan Watkins comes in number 57 on our list this year. And very wide numbers as far as our four, you know, where we ranked them, 54, 61, 33, and 57. So we're kind of all over the place on him. This is his rookie year. He's wearing jersey number 17. That's a major red flag, but whatever. I digress. It's just a number. I don't believe in that stuff too much. But seeing number 17 out there, I don't like that at all. 5'11", 196. 29-inch arms. He is in the bottom 3% of NFL wide receivers in arm length. Tiny hands. 23 years old already. He did run a 4.37 40-yard dash, which that's 89th percentile of NFL wide receivers. That's great. And the first thing that Kyle Shanahan said whenever he was asked about him, Kyle Shanahan said, quote, love his speed. It's the first thing you notice. When you see a guy for the first time, you look at his 40 time. Then you watch his routes at the combine. I thought he was one of the better route runners at the combine, just with natural receiver skills and everything. So speed, check. 4.3 speed, that's awesome. You look at his 10-yard burst, 1.53. That's 64th percentile of wide receivers. He gets off the line quick. Didn't do the three cone, which we're in that kind of era where guys just don't do drills they're not good at. Change of direction's not his skill set. Probably what Jordan Watkins does best, and this is why we call him the gauntlet. Kyle Shanahan talked about how good he was in the gauntlet. Both of the, you know, front personnel guys talked about the gauntlet. Lynch talked about the gauntlet. Like, they love what he did. That's the drill in the combine where you run, catch this way, turn, catch that way, turn, catch that way, and you just keep your speed. He's smooth through transitions. Not change of direction quick, shifty. Just glides out there. He's like the Iceman running routes. He's a glider. Keeps his speed and just smooth. And so, you know, whenever you look at different passing concepts, those deep end breakers, the drift route concept, all those things, like, that is huge. Think about all those routes where Debo runs 12 to 14, breaks in, and catches that ball in the middle of that zone when Purdy throws the needle, and you got to catch it and just keep your speed. Like, there's a direct translation to the Kyle Shanahan passing offensive schematics to, man, can you catch the ball while running full speed, keep your speed, and that's where the yak comes from. Well, Jordan Watkins can do that in a drill. Was not asked to do that very much at Ole Miss at all. Almost all of his work were vertical routes, which I think that's his best route. He can stack corners very, very well. Fades, go routes, stop and goes, posts, skinny posts. That's where he got almost all of his production in college. 36.5-inch vertical, above average. 9'11 broad jump, right at average. Didn't do the bench press, and he doesn't look like he has a lot of functional strength to him. You watch him block, not aggressive at all. Literally, he got a little bit of Jake Brindle to him in the run game, where he will just stop and watch the guy he was supposed to block make a tackle. Every single game I've graded on him, which I did four, he does not try hard at all blocking. But he talks about how he's a dog and he loves football. And so I'm hoping that's an Ole Miss thing, because Ole Miss does not teach you to do that. They do not coach you to do that. They literally say, take this play off because you're going to run a go route next. So you have to kind of coach some of these bad habits out of his tape. And you put together the highlights, Jordan Watkins, you love it. And, you know, we have our breakdowns up on the entire rookie class on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon. And, like, on my bold letters on my Jordan Watkins breakdown is, do not watch this if you want to be a fan of Jordan Watkins, because there's, like, 15 plays that just, like, oh, my gosh, this guy does not care about football at all. But that's an Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, Briles system I just can't get over. I can't stand players in that scheme. Now, you plug all of his measurables, Jordan Watkins, into the mock draftable database, and, man, there's a lot of comps. This year's Kyle Williams, not the old 49ers, the guy out of Washington State, that's his number one match. And I loved Kyle Williams. Mecole Hardman, Roman Wilson, John Mechie, Jalen Royce, Ladd McConkey, and Zay Flowers. Now, you have to understand with Ladd McConkey, Zay Flowers, he didn't do the three cone. So the one thing that separates Zay Flowers and Ladd McConkey from all other wide receivers is that three cone. Well, that doesn't compute in that. So those I almost left off, but you know, you talk height, weight, speed. He's got the pedigree. He's built the correct way. Almost all those guys have had success in the NFL. Like, there's a lot of guys like him. How is it going to translate? His full name, Tyrell Jordan Watkins, born February 15th, 2002. Doesn't that make you feel old whenever you hear somebody born in 2002? Born and raised in Louisville, Kentucky. Went to Butler High School there. And, you know, was the 24th ranked athlete in the country. Wasn't quite sure where he would fit, whether it's running back, DB, wide receiver, just kind of like out there. Three-star recruit guy. And, you know, he was a track guy, ran a 10.9 100 meter, decent, 22.5. Now, that's good in the 200. That's probably his best event. And a 53.3 in the 400, not good, not good. But that 200, and that's the thing. Like, you look at his combine, his 10-yard split, he's got top-end speed, and he can maintain that. Not necessarily elite acceleration, but that top-end gear, you see him stacking corners on that fade route. That's probably his go-to, what he does very well. Went to Louisville for 2 years, then transferred to Ole Miss. And, you know, you kind of look at what he did. At Louisville, he saw action in 22 games. Didn't really do a lot. Averaged 44 yards receiving a game, which is decent. Was second on the team in receiving yards. Had four touchdowns. He was a punt returner. Decent, just nothing really special. So then he transfers to Ole Miss, which is, you know, he went from not having a starting role to transferring to Ole Miss and was kind of a rotational guy, kind of the number three, number four wide receiver. And, you know, his senior year in 2024, he kind of catches a break. And I don't really know. He wasn't even a starter as a senior for Ole Miss until Trey Harris, who went in the second round, to the Chargers, got injured. Whenever he got injured, he stepped in and took over that starting outside wide receiver job, and he sees the record. He sees the opportunity. It was awesome. You know, he finished with 142 receptions, 2,000 yards, 14 touchdowns. That's over two seasons at Ole Miss, and like, pretty solid work. It really, really, he's one of 11 Ole Miss wide receivers to break the 2,000 career yard mark. Earned all SEC honorable mention his senior year, all those things. Had 9 touchdowns, led the team, which was huge. And really, a lot of his production came down to two games. The bowl game, which he went ham against, you know, Duke, which was awesome. 7 catches, 180 yards, 2 touchdowns. And then against Arkansas, maybe one of the best games in the history of college football, 8 catches, 254 yards, 5 touchdowns in one game. Now, the rest of his games, a little lackluster, not really fun to watch, like kind of frustrating. But those two games, and Kyle Shanahan loves this. If you are a skill position player, whether you're a running back or wide receiver, and you could take over a game by yourself, Shanahan loves that. Absolutely loves that. And on top of that, you know, the next thing that Kyle Shanahan loves is how you perform in all-star games. Well, guess what? He was named the co-offensive player of the week, you know, for the East-West Shrine Bowl. So, you know, he goes and performs. Jackson Dart was the other co-player, you know, teammates, whatever. But when you could perform against a bunch of future NFL players, that's gigantic. And so he's been able to, his star's rising. Again, he wasn't even a starter in college to start this season. Injury happens. He takes advantage of the opportunity, starts the ascent, has some astronomical game. One of the games of his life is the bowl game. Then he goes to the Shrine Bowl, shows out. Then he goes to the Combine, shows out. And so it's just, man, is this the, you know, we're hitting this just huge uptick of production and showing out in the biggest moments possible. Can that continue? I really, really hope that it can for Jordan Watkins. And, you know, they go draft him in the fourth round, last pick in the fourth round, pick 138 overall. This was a compensation pick that you got for Chase Young. So it's bonus. And as much as people like me maybe don't like the Jordan Watkins pick, dude, this is extra. This is gravy. I did think that it was an incredible reach, but that's okay. And there were a lot of guys that I really, really liked that were still on the board. Marcus Bow, DJ Giddens, Jeffrey Bossa, Aronde Godson, the tight end, Denzel Burke, which still got a major need at outside corner. But Kyle Shanahan said this, quote, "We wanted to add a receiver in this draft. We didn't know where it would be, and we are glad we got him," end quote. So, as always, Kyle Shanahan will spend the most on wide receivers, draft the most wide receivers, and still need more wide receivers. You drafted two receivers last year and just keep going. And didn't spend a free agency, spent on wide receiver. Got DeMarcus Robinson. Got to draft another one. Got to bring in the highest price undrafted free agent, another wide receiver. Like, Kyle Shanahan will always go after wide receiver, which makes it kind of comical because the 49ers run the least wide receiver sets in the NFL. But I digress. Now, let's look at the collective of what Jordan Watkins has put together, okay? Just in 2024. Played 12 games, 600 snaps, only started 8, right? He didn't start until Trey Harris got hurt. But caught 42 passes on 60 targets, 726 yards, 17.3 yards per reception. That's huge. And again, that offense, RPOs, crazy, crazy, crazy. Throw the ball down the field, fades, post, you know, stop and goes, all that kind of stuff. 7 touchdowns, had a drop rate of 4.5%. Solid. That's not bad. 253 yards after the catch. That's an average of 6 yards after the catch per reception. Again, he got most of those stacking corners on vertical routes. And those two games were just insane. Already signed his rookie contract. That's good news. 4-year contract for $4.8 million. $665,000 fully guaranteed. He's getting paid. I like to see that. Played some on special teams as a returner, but I doubt he's going to find his way into the mix on that. Maybe as a kick returner, but probably not as a punt returner. But we'll see what that looks like. Now, again, goes out there, dominates OTAs, minicamp, takes advantage of his opportunity. Where have you heard this before? Trey Harris gets hurt, boom, dominates. Well, Ricky Pearsall, Brandon Ayuk hurt. Guess what? He dominates. Here's two quotes from Brock Purdy. Quote, definitely a rookie that has popped out in front of everyone, end quote. That's Brock Purdy. And then Purdy goes on to say, he's balling, man. Jordan Watkins has been balling from day one, really, end quote. Can you keep going? The 49ers need a wide receiver. Now, my biggest question is, Kyle Shanahan does not trust rookie wide receivers. It doesn't matter where you're drafted. Hey, you can go back through and, like, Jacob Cowing last year, right? Similar draft position. 4 catches, 80 yards, no touchdowns. Like, late round, day 3, wide receiver, Ronnie Bell. 6 catches, 68 yards. He had 3 touchdowns, though. All right? Danny Gray, 1 catch, 10 yards his rookie year. Trent Taylor, he's probably the most, but he was drafted back in 2017 when you were switching regimes and all that stuff. 43 catches, 430 yards, 2 touchdowns. As even if Jordan Watkins is elite and earns a role, it's pretty hard to find a way for him to catch more than 20 balls and more than 200 yards in this offense just because Kyle doesn't trust rookie wide receivers. Maybe Watkins is the exception to that rule. But, like, you can even look at Dante Pettis, right? Second round pick they traded up for, and that was on a bad team. 27 catches, 467 yards, 5 touchdowns. All right, well, Ricky Pearsall, I know he had to overcome those injuries, the shooting, all that. 31 catches, 400 yards, 3 touchdowns. And only 2 wide receivers have contributed in a heavy way their rookie year, and that was Ayuk and Debo, right at about 800 yards apiece for both of them. So Jordan Watkins is making this roster, but the Shanahan way for wide receivers is wait and see. Like, Jacob Cowing should earn a bigger role this year, and I think that he will out-snap, out-catch, and out-yardage Jordan Watkins. But, I would be so stoked if Jordan Watkins is that guy that finally just says, hey, kind of like Dominique Pooney did last year, my chances here, I've already started to show out, it continues in training camp, leads in the preseason, and is just too damn good that you can't get him you have to get him snaps. You got to get him out there. That's best case, because this is, again, my least favorite pick of all 11 draft picks. I thought, I don't like it. But can't hold that against Jordan Watkins, and he's got a 49ers uniform on. So, like, you want the best things. I hope he goes out there and dominates. It's going to be hard to see him factor in there, maybe with the suspension to DeMarcus Robinson, the Ayuk injury. There are outside wide receiver snaps available. I just think that the vets will get first crack at that, and maybe after the bye week, Jordan Watkins factors into a role, but there's young guys ahead of him, and there's veterans ahead of him. We will see. Jordan Watkins, glad that you are with the 49ers. Man, prove me wrong. Please, I want you to. because he just seems like a good damn kid. And he does have a lot of traits, and there is a lot of positive stuff surrounding him. I hope he takes that and just runs with it. Thank you to Ben, Josh, and Zach, executive producers of this series. And for us, number 57, Jordan Watkins on this list. We're just going to keep counting them down. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. The 49ers are putting a lot of stock, a lot of value, expectations, and relying on a player in the secondary that has done nothing. In fact, it's actually worse than nothing. Like Darrell Luter Jr. came into the 49ers. This is now his third season, and his first two seasons, negatives. No playing time whatsoever on the defensive side of the ball. Can't stay healthy. Special teams contribution, you know, they deactivated healthy scratch Samuel Womack for Darrell Luter. One of the worst decisions made in franchise history. It goes into the Super Bowl and fumble on special teams because he's not paying attention where the ball's kicked and doesn't get the hell out of the way whenever he's close to the punt returner. The 49ers were up in the third quarter, and that was kind of the major changing moment for the 49ers in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. It comes back the following year, can't get any defensive snaps, got three total defensive snaps the whole year, and almost causes close to fumbles by running into his own punt returner. Brian Snyder, the worst special teams coach in the NFL, does not coach him up at all, doesn't change it. Like, it was funny because I was at the game, I was at both games where this happened, and almost caused a fumble because he's, you know, the gunner protector cornerback, runs into his own punt returner almost, goes to the sideline. Not one coach talks to him. Nobody addresses anything. Both times. I was at both games. And I'm like, nobody's talking to this guy who you had this catastrophic mistake in the Super Bowl. It happens again, not once but twice the following season. Same special teams coordinator, same player. Nothing happens. And then he runs into Jacob Cowing as he's returning a punt a couple games later, causes a fumble. 49ers lose that game, whatever else. And then he got benched and never played again last year. And that was like week 8, I think. Week 8 or 9, maybe. I don't know how the 49ers can put so much stock in this player by not going out and addressing outside cornerback depth. Not doing it at all. At all. And so I don't know what to do because I loved Darrell Luter Jr. when they drafted him. Like, dude is just, man, 6 foot, 190, 33-inch arms, like long arms, 4.46 40-yard dash. Great 10-cone, great 3-cone, or 10-yard split, amazing 3-cone, 6.9. Vertical, 40.5 inches, like freak. His three closest comps on mockdraftable.com are Sean Bunting, Kendall Fuller, and Richard Sherman. Like, he is built, and you see him out at training practice games, lining up with the cornerback group, and it's like, who the hell is that dude? He looks like Megatron playing corner. Like, he's a big dude. Just can't stay healthy. He hasn't made it through one training camp. Can't stay healthy during the season, and just hasn't progressed. So the 49ers drafted him in 2013. He was number 45 on his debut of the 49ers roster countdown in 2023. Then he got bumped up to 30th last year because it was like, dude, he has to play. There's nobody ahead of him. Like, they're guaranteeing him playing time. Couldn't do anything with it. Got passed by everybody. And now he's down to 56. So he fell 26 spots, one of the largest droppers in this list. And it's like now or never. I mean, you look at the competition at the outside corner position, and it's like, I guess he's got to make the roster. but he's never played, and he hasn't really even practiced, and he's not good on special teams. And it's just, like, I feel bad because I think he's awesome, and I think he's a good dude, and I think he's a great dad, very mature man. And it's just, he's only 25, but he came into the league, you know, Wayne Breezy and I, we called him Pops, because you listen to him talk in his press conferences and all those things and interviews, and it's like, dude, this dude sounds like a seasoned vet, acts like a seasoned vet. I don't understand how, again, he drafted under Wilkins last year, you know, with Pet Rock, defensive coordinator. Now you've got a new cornerback coach and Coach Ray Brown. You got, you know, bringing back Robert Saleh, who has not been around him, and they just do not add more outside corners. You look at that roster, and, man, Darrell Luter Jr. is like the number three outside corner right now. Him, Trey Brown, Dallas Flowers, Derek Canteen, that's it. Like, that's the competition for the number three outside corner. Yeah, Diamador Lenore and Renardo Green, those are your starters. But, man, Renardo Green, like, didn't finish five or six games last year. What happens if you have an injury? Like, is Darrell Luter Jr. going to be starting? I don't understand why the 49ers have neglected this position, and it's scary. It really reminds me a lot. You guys remember, I think it was Brian Allen, whenever we were playing against Fitzpatrick and the Dolphins, we had a couple injuries. Akello said he was going to go and couldn't go, and then we just got torched, the same corner. And it was just like the season was basically done because we had this one, we just didn't have a corner. I don't understand why they haven't addressed it. Having said all those things, Darrell Luter Jr., if he can contribute in any positive ways whatsoever to a defensive side of the ball, the 49ers, that's going to be huge. And his story is awesome. He's from Oak Grove High School, went to college, Pearl City Community College, had to get eligible. He was there for 2 years, then goes to South Alabama, the Jaguars. He was there for three seasons and was just dominant. And even played some big-time schools. I remember going through the UCLA film, South Alabama. Like, UCLA was terrified of him. They threw one target his way, and he got a pass breakup, and that was it. Like, he literally took away half the field. And he was playing against some legitimate, you know, top-tier players. I don't know, man. It just, nothing has come to fruition when talking about Darrell Luter. But he's got the draft pedigree. He's been in the system. And the 49ers just are not backing up that position. So he's going to get a chance. He's going to be out there with the twos, guaranteed, when training camp starts. If he's healthy. Now, that's a big if, because he's always off to the side in training camp. Now, you go back to his background. Led her 3 years in football, two in basketball, one in track. He was a two-star recruit. He got scholarships to Houston, Purdue, Rutgers, Southern Miss, Coastal Carolina coming out of junior college. And again, he was... young father, married at a young age, very mature guy, plays aggressive, very sticky coverage. You go back to his time at South Alabama, played in 36 games, 16 passes defense, 5 interceptions, 1 forced fumble. Like, he was just, his tape is so good. All Sun Belt, which you can kind of laugh at, but he was the Sun Belt Defensive Player of the Year. Like, second team All-American. That's how good this guy was, even at a smaller school. He was just, man, he was great. Teams got terrified of him and just quit throwing the ball his way. Then he gets to the Senior Bowl. This is Shanahan staple. Played awesome. And 49ers draft good Senior Bowl players all the time. And they go get him. It's just hasn't developed how the 49ers or Darrell Luter Jr. has liked. Getting benched on special teams because you can't do some of the easiest things. You just don't have the awareness. And this could be his last chance to prove he belongs on this roster. There's just nobody behind him. Will be a tough camp, and he's got to find a way to get snaps. Has to. I'm almost to the point where I'm like, look, Darrell Luter Jr., you're not playing special teams. You're not cut out for that. Like, definitely not punt return. You put him out there on punt return, you're an idiot. But maybe the other special teams, you just got to focus on defense, man, because you're one injury away from this dude being a starter. That's scary. That scares me. He was drafted in the 5th round of the 20th pick. And, man, like, he's one of 9 players in that 5th round, 2023, to not start a game. One of 9. I think there were 38 players drafted with compensation picks and everything in that round. Not good. Listen to some names that were drafted after him. This is going to hurt even more. Dontavian Wicks, Chase Brown, Henry Tototo, Payne Durham, Puka Nacua went in that round afterwards. Like, and you don't want to measure by, you know, what else was out there, but it's like, man, you're talking about a franchise-worthy player in Puka Nacua, starter Payne Durham, starter Henry Tototo, Chase Brown starter, Dontavian Wicks, special teamer, rotational, just kind of playmaker. It just hasn't worked out. He's got 10 tackles, almost all in special teams, one forced fumble. That was probably the best thing. He's got knee issues, hamstring issues, pelvis issues. He's only been in the league for 2 years. Just can't stay healthy. Hasn't made it through a full training camp. Still on his rookie deal. That's probably the reason why he's still sticking around. He's got 2 years left on his contract. Career made, $905,000, because he's not on an active roster. Been in 10 games and only played 3 games last year. And was just a healthy scratch because the special teams was so bad. Played 47 special team snaps, had a 44.6 grade. One of the worst on the team. But the competition at outside corner, again, Darrell Luter Jr., Trey Brown. Trey Brown's missed 39 games in 4 years. Dallas Flowers, Derek Canteen, these are undrafted free agent type guys. They're built like outside corners. They have the athleticism, but they haven't played. Like, you've got 4 guys at outside corner that just have major question marks. And the 2 positions that I constantly go back to is, like, you need another outside corner. You could use an outside wide receiver early when the guys are suspended. But the biggest weakness on this 49ers roster this year in 2025, outside corner. I know D'Amador Lenore and Renardo Green are great. There's nothing behind them. Nothing. Maybe Trey Brown stays healthy. Maybe Darrell Luter Jr. finally can stay healthy and show something. That's what you're hoping for. And, you know, it's funny. Like, if you could play the game, hey, you get to pick one player that just balls out, stays healthy, and just impresses everybody. Darrell Luter Jr. would be on that list. He would be on that list because it would give the 49ers depth at a position that has just plagued Shanahan since he showed up. It really, really has. And so, man, Darrell, I hope you know we're all rooting for you. Yeah, it's been bad so far, but the past doesn't determine what happens in the future. Go get it, big dog. You're number 56 on this list. You're probably making this roster guaranteed. Find a way to contribute in a positive way. Stick around on this roster. We got you for 2 more years on a rookie deal. Then go get paid somewhere. Best for everybody involved. Man, I hope he freaking turns around and great things start to happen. Got to stay healthy. Got to get reps in practice. And then start to contribute. Ugh, let's go, man. Thank you to Josh, Ben, and Zach, executive producers of this series. And for us and the 49ers Rush team, we'll just keep counting them down.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/RedCircle, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/RedCircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/RedCircle.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.